T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Let's bring in our first guest of the day. He is the president and chief operating officer for the Boston Red Sox. Our buddy Sam Kennedy is with us. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, guys. Happy post-Thanksgiving and happy holidays, everybody.
Thank you very much, and thank you for joining us here on Giving Tuesday. Has this been as active an off-season as you expected, more or less?
You know, it's actually been very busy. It's obviously coming off of a very highly unusual season, a difficult year for a lot of people. But no, it's been busy. There's a lot of activity in the market. There's still clearly a premium on what is the most important element of the game, and that's pitching. So it's been busy. Chaim and BOH and the team are working really hard, and it's good to be sort of back to business as usual and kind of a normal off season here.
I am curious your thoughts on pitching, because obviously there's been sort of a new wave. A lot of teams, not just Chaim Bloom teams in Tampa, have gone with the opener, and this year Red Sox did it several times where it was sort of like a bullpen game and kind of out of necessity, and kind of put to the side whether, you know, Chaim Bloom and Cora think it can win. I'm wondering, for a fan perspective, what do you think of it? Because I remember growing up, if you had tickets to a Pedro game, it was like gold. But I ended up with Tim Wakefield games. And I listen, no knock at Tim Wakefield. At least he's a real starter.
On, we don't talk about Wake like.
I'm just saying, compared to Pedro, everybody's in that category. I'm curious if you feel the same way for fans who are buying tickets to the game, and we can get to whether they're even going to be at the game and how soon that'll be, but there's a big difference between, hey, I got a Chris Sale game, I'm going to go see Chris Sale, versus I'm going to see the entire bullpen today.
Yeah, no, there's no question. I'm with you. I mean, there's nothing like a complete game from my guy was Roger Clemens, you know, back in that era. I'm clearly a little bit older than you, but Pedro was an event, and I agree with you. There's nothing like having a dominant starting pitcher go the distance, and you know, today it's rare that a guy will go 7 or 8 innings, and that's something that I think we need to focus on as an industry. What has developed, you've seen different strategies deployed. Obviously didn't work very well for us, by the way, 2020, when we ran out a bunch of different guys, and as you said, it was out of necessity given the situation we found ourselves in with injuries and otherwise. But I think let's get Chris Sale back healthy so we can go and pitch a complete game, or Eddie Rodriguez, and I don't think you'll see the premium ever come off of starting pitching. It's so valuable, so important, and the guys that can go the distance are really, really important. I think it is important for fans. You're right. They want to see starting pitching. I think that's why people were so upset when Blake Snell got pulled out of the game. We all wanted to see him go, and you know, we know what happened. But I do think it's important for fans. It's important for the game.
Sam, the biggest news of the offseason was your manager returning, Alex Cora. And I'm just wondering, is that a transition that it's like he never left, or is there sort of a different transition period because Chaim Bloom's here and sort of them working together? And when will you know how that whole dynamic plays out?
Yeah, it's like he never left. Honestly, it's been fantastic. It was really difficult parting ways with him. It was obviously much more difficult for for him serving the deserved suspension, and he went through all that. But it was hard for us, given the timing and difficult for Haim coming in, taking over the baseball operations department. But don't forget, we had a good 8-10 week window where Haim and the group spent a lot of time working with Alex in the off season. We were all in San Diego for, I think, the rainiest week in the history of Southern California for the winter meetings last year. And Alex and Haim began to build their relationship at that point. So he's hit the ground running. Really, really excited to have him back. The players are excited to have him back. The fans are excited to have him back. And it feels like we were able to turn the page on a really dark period for the Red Sox. 2020 was bad in so many ways. And we're really excited he's back and looking forward to 2021.
Sam Kennedy joining us on the Harbor One Hotline. In the interest of full disclosure, I was very excited to see Alex brought back as manager of the Red Sox. But I'm also curious, why did he have to go? He had to be suspended. Well, I get that. Why did he have to go?
Yeah, you know, it was. I know a lot of people at the time didn't necessarily believe some of us in the organization when we said it was a mutual parting of the ways. But I will go to my grave maintaining that Alex came in that morning and said, "Look, I got to step away. I can't do this." And we agreed with him, given what came out in the commissioner's report about Houston. It was just jarring and stunning to a lot of us in the game, in the industry. So it really was a mutual thing. And then obviously the commissioner suspended him. So it was, I think it was a punishment that fit the crime, if you will. I was pleased that the Red Sox, you know, we had our investigation for 2018. Baseball did an exceptional job, left no stone unturned, and we've all been able to move beyond it. But no, he needed to go. He felt that he needed to step away, that he would lose the confidence of the players and the trust in the front office. And he did that. And as I said repeatedly throughout, we think that was appropriate, but we also believe in forgiveness and second chances, and that's exactly what's happened, and we're glad he's back.
Now, nobody probably knows Theo Epstein as well as you do. What was your reaction when he stepped away from the Cubs, and do you have any idea what's next for him?
Yeah, it was a really, really great chapter for the Cubs and for Theo and his family, but I wasn't surprised at all. I don't know why he's such a big fan of Bill Walsh, by the way. He grew up a diehard Patriots fan, but he loves to quote Bill Walsh and talk about how, you know, coaches and general managers really have a sort of a 7 to 10 year window in terms of giving everything to the job. Obviously, we've seen lots of people go longer than that and have a lot of success, especially here in New England, people like Bill Belichick. But he always references Bill Walsh. He had a plan. I know he was in touch with Cubs ownership, and they had a understanding that 2021 at the longest would be sort of the length that he was out there. I think he decided that at where the Cubs are at, where Jed Hoyer, his deputy, was at, that it was the right time to move on. I can tell you he will be focused on doing some important, meaningful work with his foundation this coming year. I think he'll probably take on some consulting projects, but I would be stunned if he is not back in baseball in a major way. And he'd obviously be an asset to any franchise that would look to bring him on. Just an exceptional baseball executive, and he'd be an asset to anybody.
I think most Red Sox fans are happy to see Alex Cora back, but they're also probably hopeful that's not the biggest story of the offseason. Do you want to maybe steal a page from Wick Grosbeck in the past when he promised fireworks? Are there fireworks to come from the Red Sox this offseason?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I don't want to make any promises because the truth is we're all sort of seeing how the market's going to develop here. I mean, look, we obviously know the areas of the club where we need to improve. We need to improve pitching. We could use an outfielder or two. So Haim has a plan, but I don't want to promise any fireworks as to not let anybody down. But I will say this: John and Tom, this is going to be our 20th year, our partnership here together. They're hungry for that that fifth World Series championship, and hopefully that can come as soon as 2021. But you know, thank God we're all still here together, and we're hungry for more championships, and that's why we brought Chaim in, and he's gelled great with the existing team in place, and so better days ahead for the Sox for sure.
So at least a couple bottle rockets, maybe a firecracker, and
there you go. We'll build up.
Sam, the relationship between the Red Sox and the Jimmy Fund goes back to the days of Ted Williams. You guys have always been very gracious hosts when we were able to hold the Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon, and we do it live at Fenway Park. And on behalf of all of us, I just wanted to say thank you to the Red Sox organization for always being there to help support these causes. It really means a lot.
Well, we're privileged to be a part of it. It's been 7 decades, so it goes back, Dale, even before your time, the Red Sox and Dana-Farber connection. And you're absolutely right. The Yawkey family and Ted Williams established the connection, so we all owe them a deep debt of gratitude. And when we came in back in the winter of 2001, one of the things that John and Tom and Larry Lucchino, who's a three-time now cancer survivor, wanted to do is make sure we deepen the connection to the Dana-Farber and the Jimmy Fund, and we've tried to do that over the 2 decades that we've been here. And so huge thanks to everyone over there, from Suzanne Fountain, Lisa Sherber, Dr. Lori Glimcher, the whole group. They're just, it's the care that they give to our community is incredible, and we're excited to participate today. We're really disappointed and bummed out we're not at Fenway doing this as we normally do, but we will be back next year, fingers crossed. But we do have a contribution of, I think we were passing the hat as late as last night. I think we're up to $118,500 contribution. Wow. From our partners over here and our investment group. So we're all of us are very proud to contribute to that as we keep working to try and cure this this horrible, horrible disease.
That's a big hat.
That is a huge hat.
Well, we'll keep passing it around, and we will always, as long as John Henry and Tom Werner and this group is here, we'll be as supportive as we possibly can of the Dana-Farber and the great, I just have to say, especially to the doctors and nurses, we've all had friends and family treated there. They're just, those are the true heroes. They're unbelievable. And during COVID, it's been incredibly stressful and difficult on not just the patients, but the nurses and doctors. So we're really grateful for all they're doing. So thank you very much.
And Sam, are you hearing anything about fans in the stands next year? Or, I mean, obviously it's hard to know anything for sure right now, but is the expectation that, you know, hopefully they'll be in there and maybe even to full capacity at some point?
Yeah, we're obviously very, very hopeful. We haven't been shy about saying that. We have a plan ready to go for a socially distanced ballpark, which we think would be appropriate depending upon the levels of cases and such. I mean, I just am so grateful to the medical community, fingers crossed here, that the vaccine starts to get distributed towards the end of the year, to be fantastic. So maybe things will even be brighter than we think. But we're ready to go with a socially distanced ballpark to begin, if that's what we have to do. But we'd love to have full houses. I mean, look, our business is driven on public gathering and our fan support, which we've had in droves for 20 straight years. And so all of us in professional sports need that. And I think we can do it in a safe and responsible way. But of course, we won't do anything until the state of Massachusetts and the city of Boston gives us the green light. But it's our job to prove to the elected officials that we can do it in a safe way, the way that the restaurant industry and other businesses have been able to do it this year. It's a really, really difficult issue. I think if we all are responsible, we'll get there more quickly. And we're all reading about vaccines and the potential distribution. So fingers crossed. I know Massachusetts will set the gold standard in terms of that, just given where we live. So fingers crossed that there are much, much brighter days ahead.
Does that have a direct impact on those fireworks I'm looking for? Is the budget of the off season tied to that?
Yeah, no one's complaining or anything like that. But the truth is, it's been very, very difficult on the business of, you know, for the Red Sox, the Patriots, the Celtics, the Bruins. Again, without fans, our revenues are zero. So it is difficult. We need to start to get our business back, and it's really important. So we'll be working closely with the state of Massachusetts and others, and I just hope that by, you know, spring and summer, things will look a lot better. And you know, my dad always said it's always darkest before the dawn. I know it's going to be a really difficult December, January, February. So I hope and pray everyone stays safe and healthy, and then we can hopefully emerge from this in 2021 and beyond.
Sam, as always, we thank you and the Red Sox for your time and your support and your generosity. Thanks so much, and happy holidays to you.
Same to you guys. Stay safe. Be well.
Thanks, Sam.
Thanks, Sam.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.